950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Matt, Hunter, get your golden gopher fever ready to go.
As opposed
to just your regular fever that you usually have in here. By the way, all my best. Hope you're feeling well. No, golden gopher fever, the soccer team, unless they score two miraculous goals in the last like 20 seconds, because I didn't get to watch the very end of it. I had to leave to come to the station and do a show. I know. But they were beating up on Nebraska 2-0. Very solid goals, by the way, by the Gophers. And they get to play Penn State for the Big Ten Championship.
That's going to be coming up.
So they got that semifinal. And I can't guarantee it because the NCAA is a box of clowns. They really are. When it comes to picking in these selection shows, they really are just a bunch of just, who's the more popular team? Okay, we'll go with them. So I'm not sure. But a lot of people feel as if now that they played into the championship game, Gopher soccer, the Gopher women's team, they will basically be in the NCAA tournament. We'll have to see how that goes. But
cool.
They are a little bit of a scary team because one of their forwards is unfreaking believable. And my guess is you'll see her on the U.S. stage playing Olympic soccer before too long because she's unbelievable. You should go see the first goal. I think was within like the first minute of the game that they got against Nebraska. That was amazing at a full run.
We're becoming kind of a soccer state with the new stadium.
It's only taken, I mean, when I was a kid, we played. I was a little kid. They were all saying soccer is going to be the next big thing. They still say soccer is going to be the next big thing. I will say, if you've not seen that Minnesota United stadium that they got out there on Snelling in 94, holy cow, is that beautiful. And I said this the minute that Minnesota United decided they were going to put that facility over there. I said every other sports team in the city is going to sit there and say, why exactly did we build our facility over there again? Because that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We are bringing in our first guest today. We got Ellie Krug coming up a little bit later on. She's got a big event coming up, and I want to talk to her about that. But Noah Johnson, he is our grassroots party candidate of the day here at AM 950. We are equal opportunity. We bring people on in. But he's joining us for kind of a unique pitch today. We'll talk to him a little bit about that. Noah, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We should mention, before we get to the news that's out there, a lot of people probably already know about what you've done with your campaign. We should mention exactly, what do you stand for as the grassroots party nominee for Attorney General?
Yeah, so I ran for Minnesota Attorney General for the grassroots legalized cannabis party, primarily to advance what many believe is a critical issue and a cause whose time has come. And that's addressing the failed war on drugs, and specifically on marijuana, and legalizing marijuana in Minnesota, as well as enacting restorative justice for people who have faced legal consequences for it.
Noah, I know you want to put out a political thing, but let's just talk about this. How dumb are we at this point to not have legalized cannabis? When you look at the tax revenue that Colorado, that California, the medical benefits these states that have legalized it have. It blows my mind that we still have that 1950s mentality towards this when it's clear the entire country of Canada has made it legal. And no, all these promises that they've always made about, oh, it's going to lead to people not showing up for jobs and people dying on the highways, none of that come to light. It truly, I mean, legalizing marijuana, at some point here, we have to grow up in Minnesota and think finally to just get this done.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. It brings to mind that old saying, the wheels of justice turn slowly, but when they turn fine. And I think you just need some people who are dedicated to bringing about justice and some people who are willing to participate in it.
I just remember when Colorado released their first tax, in the amount of tax they had brought in off the sales. And at that point, I was wondering why any state in the union had. I was like, okay, let's legalize it now, really quick. Because Colorado they proved that it's as far as this, all these warnings they go, they're unfounded. And there is a definitive medical element to marijuana.
Absolutely.
And you can't deny that anymore. I mean, you're just trying to turn off doctors at this point. We can't do that. And that the reality is that as far as drugs go, I mean, if you're going to have legal alcohol, you might as well have legal marijuana because really, I mean, in my mind.
Exactly. And I'd say, obviously, alcohol has a lot of dangers that are associated with it, but you still wouldn't make it illegal. Because we tried that, and it just led to crime and violence and all these things, and marijuana doesn't even have those factors of danger.
So let's, all my best. I know that once this election's over, you're going to continue to work on this, and I hope you all the best on that, because I am of the person that, even though I haven't smoked in a while, I will say that it really is almost archaic that we are not gotten that legalized. So if you need in the future, past this election cycle, you want to talk about this issue, come on back anytime. By all means, I'd love to have you on, okay?
Absolutely. I appreciate that.
Noah, you as we're running here, when you decided to make this run, I mean, you knew this was going to be a long shot race as it was, as to trying to be the grassroots party nominee for the Attorney General. And you had a kind of a moment not a few weeks back, correct?
If you're referring to the debate,
well, during the debate, and then your decision as well to basically endorse Keith Ellison in this race.
That's right, because Representative Ellison, in his campaign for Attorney General, did endorse the legalization of marijuana and restorative justice for marijuana offenders. And as that was the primary purpose of my campaign, and he and I also share similar values in other aspects, it made sense to me to endorse him and try to avoid Doug Wardlow getting elected, because I don't think he's going to help at all.
Oh, no. I think you're pretty astute on that one. I think, Gary, you nailed it. As far as your issues go, though, I mean, I think we've become smarter as in politics since the last election. And you are in a unique position because this is definitely going to be one of the closer statewide races. I think a KSTP poll just out today had Ellison up by 4.
That's right.
And so it's a very close race. We had in 2016 races where third party candidates, I mean, I met Paul Overby. She's a very nice person. She decided that race. Jason Lewis became a congressman in the second district because she took enough votes away from Angie Craig to where Jason Lewis got the victory. You get these close races, and you know, your intention is to make sure your issue is recognized, not put someone who is, as you kind of alluded to, someone who's completely against your agenda in place because you just happened to pull enough votes away from the person that was, you know, somewhat agreeing with your positions.
That's right. And I think it's an effective strategy. And, you know, the idea is if the Democrats and Republicans don't want a third party candidate taking away their votes, talking about marijuana, then one of them's got to endorse marijuana legalization. And it sort of makes what we're doing, sort of fulfilled, but also defunct. And I believe that's what Keith Ellison has done. So,
did you get any pushback from the party or, you know, from any of your friends in regards to this decision to endorse Ellison?
Not too much. There were some questions about, you know, is it a betrayal of the party? Not from the party members specifically, but sort of from supporters. And I've just been trying to do my best to explain that, well, if you supported me, it's because you support marijuana legalization, and Mr. Ellison now does that, and, you know, let's face it, he's got a better chance to win.
Well, and with all due respect to your campaign, I mean, it was not looking like you were probably going to hit the 5% threshold on that. And the reality is with the Attorney General's position, I mean, it's not the legislature, it's not the governor's office, but it is a position that does dictate a lot of the enforcement of these rules. And like I said, when we first started talking here, when you have states where marijuana sales are legal, I've been to states where marijuana legal sales are legal. And the idea that the minute you cross an invisible borderline, that all of a sudden we should have an attorney general that cracks down violently on the same thing that's sold over the counter in the next state over, I think that attorney general's position is very important. I can understand why you wanted to push your position, but as well, I can also understand realizing that you're right. If Doug Wardlow was there, I think that, you know, I'm not sure exactly what his position is necessarily on marijuana, where he would go with it, but I have a feeling it wouldn't be nearly as embracing of the legalization as this country is heading towards.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And obviously, like you said, it's arbitrary to cross a state line and all of a sudden you've got marijuana illegality. But not only that, within the state, it's being sold anyway. So I think the people should get a cut of it, as you were mentioning earlier about tax revenue.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not exactly the hardest thing to come about, even in the state of Minnesota. Let's just be honest.
No, it's not.
This does present an interesting problem. We did talk to Steve Simon, the Secretary of State, and that there comes a point where the ballots are printed and your name will appear on the ballot. You are basically telling people to not vote for you, to vote for Keith Ellison, right?
That's right.
I think I want to be honest with you. I think this is an amazingly brave and intelligent choice by you. I really do, especially considering what we saw in 2016 and the idea that elections don't have consequences. I mean, I think we've learned our lesson on that. And I applaud you on this decision. All my best on the issue. And Noah, by all means, I appreciate the time today. When you want to talk after this election about this issue, by all means, come on back. Let's talk about it more, okay?
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure. Noah Johnson, he is the grassroots party candidate for attorney general, but once again, he has made the decision to withdraw his candidacy. He is encouraging all of his supporters to vote for Keith Ellison in the attorney general's race. And I think that that's an amazing, amazing decision by him. And I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. When I come on back, I'll break down a little bit more about why I feel that way. But once again, thanks, Noah. I appreciate the time. The election's coming up here, folks. Yeah, it is coming up here. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
It's just a few weeks before winter officially settles in. Is your home ready for the holidays? Now is the perfect time to get your entire home zero-resified by the cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get three rooms clean starting at just $149. You can also get $50 off your air duct cleaning when you call 952-0-RES, 952-0-RES, or book online anytime at zeroresmn.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hello, I'm Dave Hutch, DFL-endorsed candidate for Hennepin County Sheriff. I've been a police officer for 15 years, and I'm running for sheriff because I believe our elected sheriff should have a vision of public safety that includes everyone, no matter where they're from or what they look like. I believe in transparency, responsiveness, and open communication. As sheriff, I will rethink how the sheriff's office interacts with ICE. I'll require crisis intervention and de-escalation training for all Hennepin County deputies. I'll make it a priority to protect everyone of Hennepin County, including our immigrant communities and our native community. I will provide mentally ill individuals with treatment and services needed to stay out of jail. I will never send Hennepin County deputies to break up protests at places like Standing Rock. And I will never stop working to improve the relationships between the police and the communities we serve. Let's start working together for a safe and healthy Hennepin County. I'm Dave Hutch, and I'm asking for your vote for Hennepin County Sheriff. Paid and prepared by Hutch for Sheriff Volunteer Committee.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333. Woo, woo, woo.
AM 950 listeners, we have a home cleaning company with an offer just for you. They're Blue Sky Services. Blue Sky Services will wash your windows, siding, gutters, clean those black streaks off your roof, and much more. Window washing starts at $100. Siding cleaning starts at $199. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. If you hear this, you have an exclusive house cleaning offer for AM 950 listeners. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. That's 651-447-4484.
By the way, hello to Marla Vatz, who's running down in 58B. She was our, after Ken Martin did our very first Democrat of the Day this time around, she was our second one way back when. She's taking on Garofalo. She's taking on Pat Garofalo, if you haven't heard, down in 58B. All my best, Marla. Help that blue wave happen. Help out Marla in 58B. We got one weekend left to go here, folks. The what Noah has done is something I wish more third party candidates would have the guts to do. If you want to know the truth, I really do. For this reason, is we're not Europe. We're not, you know, these countries that have these multifaceted parliamentary groups, which you have a legalized cannabis group that has 7 seats, and they make a deal with the group that's for clean energy, and they make a group which is kind of the mid-right group, and they all board, you know, build a coalition together. We don't have that. I mean, and we can blame, we can say that's a fault of ours. We can definitively say, you know, that's we should probably have more, you know, more parties in this country. I would agree with that. I think that would make for a more vibrant community. And, you know, we've had at times, you know, political parties rise and kind of get, you know, kind of disappear. The reality is that what we have in this country is we have a lot of people that become convinced that they want to start a new political party, but then when they realize the level of work and time it takes, they eventually, it was like when the Independence Party here in Minnesota, they were all moderate Republicans, and basically what they ended up all doing was going back to the Republican Party. You know, they didn't have the fight in them to keep it going, and they allowed their convention to get overrun by far-right stooges. So there is nothing wrong with having a third party issue and having a discussion about it. And this is why I believe in debates, once we get past primary season, that the, you know, in my mind, all the candidates who are polling 1% or higher should be invited to the debate, because we should have a vibrant discussion about all the issues. But there comes a point, especially as you get towards late October before an election, that you realize the, if you don't get out there and make enough of a push to where you got, you know, say like the 20th, you've got 15, 20% of the vote going your way. All right, you're a viable third party candidate, and by all means, stay in that race. You're the 20th of October and you're at 2-3%, you already know you're not going to win. You're not going to win. And so you staying in the race, especially in the case of Noah, where he has a candidate that's in one of the major parties that actually agrees with his position, all you're doing is you're tempting fate. And I'm sorry, I remember Ralph Nader in 2000 when he was bragging and thumping his chest about how proud he was that he decided the presidential election of 2000, making it close enough in Florida to where, you know, the Supreme Court would award the election to W. I remember those people for those first few months up until September 11th, all of them thumping their chest and talking about how proud they were about that. And then all of a sudden we got into a war in Iraq after 9/11, and all of a sudden all those people, Ralph Nader people, didn't like it that much. Don't you dare say that's our fault. Yeah, it was. It was. And Nader kept trying to do it too. You're not doing it for the betterment of the country. You're doing it for your own self-gratification. And that is, I think, a problem sometimes. I agree with getting issues out. I agree with going out there and making a statement. I absolutely do. But I also ask the question is, there comes a point where your consequences of your campaign are going to be far greater by staying in, and the one party who is at least close to you in belief could lose. Same thing. I mean, there's a lot of libertarian candidates out there who disappeared off of ballots. And the reason why is that there was a lot of pushback from the far right saying, we don't want to cost the Republicans that race. They didn't want to pull 1,000 votes in a Minnesota House race, which would likely be the deciding factor. Diane is in St. Louis Park. She wanted to chime in on third parties. Welcome in, Diane.
Yes, nice to talk to you. As you probably know, the cure to this whole thing is to have ranked choice voting, because then like-minded parties help each other instead of hurt each other. Because after
the first round
of vote counting is done, the like-minded parties wouldn't win, but their vote totals would be added because they would have been like number two, you know. So It's just a simple thing. We just have to adopt ranked choice voting, and there wouldn't be all this animosity and over-strategizing and all that.
Diane has been talking about ranked choice voting. We did it in Minneapolis, and it. And there are some people who would say that it ended up costing one or two far-left candidates their position. There are some people who would make an argument that it did exactly like Diane said. And it's like, you know, it made sure if the community leans more to the left, it brought in more left people. First of all, let's be honest. There's no chance in hell right now that you're going to get ranked choice voting in a statewide race or on the national level. It just is not going to happen. And part of the problem that you have is exactly the day that on election night in Minneapolis, when they were doing the tabulation, and we'll get back to you in a little bit. We got to do some math over here. We got to shift some columns over here and over there, and we'll get back to you. And there was a lot of confusion about exactly who had won anything. And granted, I understand that the idea, the concept is there, but this idea that like-minded parties are going to work together, just if it gets close, come on, I find that hard to believe. Because you're going to have gone through a campaign. I mean, it's that idealistic leftist view that we're all arm in arm as we walk into the ballot box and we all walk out arm in arm. Dun, 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 dun. That's not the real world. Take a look at if that was the case, then would there have been animosity between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton people? No, there wouldn't have been. Those were the two. They were two closest candidates to each other. I understand what the idea. I still think I would need to see it more. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't work, but I am going to say I'm still a little skeptical of it. When I saw it in Minneapolis, I need to see it do it a few more times before I'm convinced this is the wave of the future. And then you have to replace pretty much every political body in the country because no one's going to go along with it to get it on a national level. Whether you can pull that off, I don't know. I would say that we would be much better served to having multiple parties. And I mean, I will say this about ranked choice voting. It does work better in larger metro areas because that's where you generally do have vibrant third parties that are more active. I mean, generally in outstate Minnesota, I mean, once the Independence Party died, it was the Libertarians, the Democrats, and the Republicans, occasionally a Green Party candidate. But for the most part, it was, you know, Democrats, Republicans, and occasional Libertarian candidate. In the metro area, you've got a wide variety. You get socialist candidates, you get the Green Party in there, you got the legalized cannabis party. You know, so I mean, I think as a system, it works better in a Minneapolis. But once again, I'm not 100% convinced it works 1,000 times better. That it's, you know, definitively we have to strip the entire system and go from there. Thanks, Diane. I appreciate the phone call as always. And like I said, I mean, if anyone's saying, well, Matt, he's against it. No, to a point, it does work. And it does work on certain levels. It's just, it's not something we're going to be able to adopt. And that's not me being, you know, Johnny Killjoy. That's me just being a realist. That's, you know, we can't get health care for everyone. And that's an issue that 80% of us agree on. And we can't get that done. And the idea of us, well, then we'll just put ranked choice voting into place. Yeah, okay. Yeah, maybe eventually. No, I think that Noah Johnson, I give him a lot of credit because I think that it's hard to do that. I mean, you do run to win. You know, it's you are out there to try to win that game. And there comes a point where I wish more third party candidates would look at the board. And even with, by the way, I should mention with ranked choice voting, even if you were polling at 5%, there's no way in the world you're going to pull off that upset. You know, you might endorse the other guy, but at the same time, in the current system without ranked choice voting, what Noah Johnson did is actually a pretty upstanding thing. And so once again, what he's saying is that do not vote for him, vote for Keith Ellison. I know some people will still vote for him. Heck, I'm surprised that the Republicans haven't put out a massive campaign to tell people to vote for him, if you want to know the truth, because that's kind of right up their alley. But needless to say, I think that's the deal there. I did want to mention Todd Colet is sponsoring AM 950 this week. There's a great website, onemorevote.us. It is vitally important. It is vitally important that this election cycle, you are taking someone to the polls with you. You are asking your friends, are they registered to vote? Do they know where they have to vote? You know, the Secretary of State's page is phenomenal. They basically, if you go to the Minnesota Secretary of State, they have an election central there that gives you all the information you need. Make sure all your friends are registered to vote. Make sure you go to vote. Go to onemorevote.us and make sure that we take this country back, because I swear to God, considering some of the stuff that's going on, and I'll share some of this when I do come back, considering some of the stuff that's going on, I don't know if we are going to be able to take this back if we do not win in 2018. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll take a break when we do come on back. How scary things are getting. And Ellie Crew coming up in a little bit. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
There are lots of ways to stay comfortable in a Minnesota winter. Hot Cocoa Warm Socks and Standards Winter Comfort Sale, where you can save up to $2,090 on a brand new 96% energy efficient furnace. There's also great deals on a variety of other furnaces and boilers. Don't wait. Unlike winter, these deals end November 30th. Learn more about Standard's Winter Comfort Sale at standardheatingdeals.com/radio. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hey, it's Brett from AM 950. Election Day is Tuesday, and we're going to have live coverage on AM 950 that night. From 7 till 9, it's Matt McNeil hosting with lots of great guests, including Jeff Stein, Cliff Schechter, and more. Hunter, Eric, and I will be updating you on results from Election Central. Then at 9, we take over hosting duties as we'll chat with Doug Padgett and his Vote Common Good Tour and check in with the local candidates. So listen to the Blue Wave happen on AM 950 with our local election night coverage, or watch it live on AM 950's Facebook page.
At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ+ is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ+ person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Restaurant of the week for Eat Local Minnesota is Nightingale. Seriously, you got to try those vegetarian options. As a guy that, yeah, I do not vegetarian, I like steak and various other things like that. I can tell you this, I will promote any business that's got vegetarian options that fill me up and do not leave me wanting for more. Nightingale is a fantastic option. Trust me, go on out there. You want to try a vegetarian night? It is a great place to do it. If not, you do want to have another option. They got lots of options on those Sharon plates. Go check it out. Great cocktails, too. 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. It is Nightingale, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Catherine is in Eagan. Let's get Catherine on in here before we get into the other issues. Hey, Catherine.
Hey, Matt. It's so good to hear your program. It's my favorite on AM 950, and I'm glad I get to hear it. I just wanted to hear what you had to say about the 2016 election. We had Jill Stein, who I believe helped to win the election for Trump. You might disagree, but I think there were a lot of new young voters then in 2016 who wanted to, you know, they wanted to vote for Jill Stein, but I think it's going to be different now, don't you?
I do as well here, and thanks, Catherine. I will say this about Jill Stein. The fact that she refuses to answer what the heck she was doing snuggling up next to Putin, it's clear something was going on. And the fact that she is fighting as hard as she can to stop that, stop from answering any questions about relationships she had. And this is the real crime. The Green Party spent decades, decades turning themselves into a legitimate party. They weren't just the eco guys. They had actually a full, broad platform. They worked for years. And it sure does look like Dr. Stein on her own might have been working with the Russians to help make sure Trump got elected. That is one of these things when you talk about these third party candidates, we know better. And especially in this modern day and age where you clearly have China and Russia and the rest of the world who realize, hey, wait a minute here, we can buy a president. All they have to do is put a strategy in place. And the rest of the world seems to have all these businesses ready to go at a drop of a hat to help manipulate U.S. elections. I got some real questions about Jill Stein. And I think what she did single-handedly to the Green Party is unforgivable, because you know what? That once again was a party that had started to really develop into that third party. And because of her potential actions, I want to know what she was doing with Putin. She doesn't want to answer any of that stuff. She sure should. She's sitting at a table with Michael Flynn and Vladimir Putin. Doesn't that seem just a little bit odd? 952-946-6205. We are in interesting times. Occasionally, if you follow me on the social media, huzzah, you will find me on Facebook, Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show, on the Twitter, Matt McNeil Show. I even have an Instagram account. It's mainly flowers and pictures of bunnies. So if you want to go find me, you can find me on Instagram as well. The reality is that I try to market these things too. And then, of course, we have the blog, Progressive Citizen X on Blogster. You can go on out there and, you know, can look at that and enjoy that. Occasionally, I will promote a blog piece on the Facebook. And what we'll do is I'll sometimes I'll do the Trump list, the top 20 Trump countdown. I'll sometimes promote that. And you can do that on Facebook. You type in, you know, $20-$30, put it in there, and it brings up other hits on that to try to get, you know, an article out there more often. And I occasionally do that. And I used to do that more than I do today. I mean, I had to jump through a ton of hoops with Facebook with their new political strategies. And to get that done. But I have been able to do it. And I did this with the latest version of the Trump list. I actually did a promotion on it. Now, in the past, I would always get, because when you do these generic targetings, you always get some other siders, some conservatives. And I'd always get up online and I'd have to clean my Knox off the Millennium Falcon by going through and finding all the Republicans that were on there, that, you know, the one guy that posted 40 freaking memes. Okay, here's a little hint there, Johnny retweet. All I have to do is delete, you know, ban you once on my site and all your 50 responses are gone. Bye. So long. And it's generally relatively comical. It's some standard stuff, nothing too personal, but it's just, you know, a lot of these, you know, go Trump, you know, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. With this latest buy, here is something, an interesting observation I have made. Do you know, you want to know one of the reasons why, I put this out on Facebook and Twitter the other day, the Republicans are cozying up to fascism a little bit because they know there is nothing they are ever going to be able to criticize the next Democrat president for, that the first thing out of the mouths of the Democrats is, yeah, but Trump, you can't. There's not, you know, you can't talk about, you know, civility. You can't talk about being kind. You can't talk about, you know, economic policy. You can't talk about, you know, any kind of sex scandals. You can't. None of that. They've literally forfeited the right to complain about anything. The budget deficit, healthcare. There is nothing that this guy has done effectively. And you're going to end up sitting there and saying, you know, well, the Democrats bad. Well, yeah, but, you know, Trump. And there's nothing they're going to be able to say. And they're they're clearly bothered by this. And that's why I think out of embarrassment and false pride, they would rather somewhat embrace fascism a little bit than admit, you know, than see a Democrat possibly win. We've seen the boiling over of frustration and anger into violence that is happening now in this country. When I put this last Facebook ad out there, I have to tell you, some of the responses I am getting, it is a very different world right now. And this is only in 2 years. It's not just responses there. We talked yesterday about the guy out in Washington State, the state representative out there, who's put out his own referendum that we should install a Christian government and that anyone that doesn't live by biblical principles should be shot, namely the men, should be shot and killed. Seriously, he actually put this out. You have a guy in Wisconsin who says he loves Trump so much that he would fight a civil war for him, and including shooting his sister in the face. He actually said this. There's a story up on Raw Story. You should see it. It's some terrifying crap out there right now. And these people, this is after 2 years. If we do not take this country back on Tuesday, if we do not take this country back on Tuesday, I am terrified about where this country is going to go. I am terrified of what it's going to be like in 2020. And if we have to do this, and I have zero doubt on election day, there are going to be clowns with guns at election sites. There's going to be intimidation. There might even be an attempted shooting because they want to stop the vote from happening. I'm scared to death of that. But the reality is, we've got to save this country. Every old person you know who's Republican will show up to vote. They all will. They could have, as a Republican candidate, a guy that likes to run around dressed up like Hitler and going, zig myself, everywhere he goes, like it's a Mel Brooks comedy, or Heil Myself. I think that was actually the Mel Brooks line, yes. And he could be sitting there talking about how he wants everyone to wear their underwear on their head, and that we should basically have public urination and all these things. And you could get the guy dressed like Hitler. They will show up and vote for him. We learned this yesterday when I went through the Michelle McDonald vote totals. She got 800,000 votes the second time she voted because Republicans just don't care. They see an R. They will vote for the absolute worst human beings on the planet just because they hate Democrats more than they love their quality of life, their religion, their health care, their kids, and this country. That is who they are. They could walk in on their spouse sleeping with a Republican and the first words out of their mouths will be, "Damn Democrats." They will gladly sink on the Titanic if they're 5 feet further up on the deck than the Democrats, and so that they can own the libs one last time before they die. That is who these people are. And they are disgusting trolls, and they will vote. I don't care who it is. You could have the guy that's withdrawn from the race in St. Cloud still on the ballot. They'll show up and vote for the guy. They will. They are broken to the core. This was never about getting Republicans to stay at home. This was always about getting that 110 million people who decided 2016 wasn't important enough and decided to sit on their asses during that election and get them to the polls. And you do that by making sure all your friends are going to go vote, all your family is going to go vote, all your coworkers are going to go vote. That's how you make a blue wave happen. Memes, all this effort that you put forward to this point, it's great. It's crunch time. You have got to get people to the polls. And that is the only way you're going to fix this country. Because I am scared to death when you look at the violent anger that is seething in these Republicans right now. And this, their flirtations now with guns and bombs and civil war. I mean, how many of these weirdo far-right groups are running to the border for a potential chance to start shooting across international lines at foreigners in another land because they got brown skin? We are in dangerous freaking times, people. We are saving the democracy. I don't care if you're in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I don't care if you're in the Twin Cities Metro. I don't care if you're in the state of Minnesota. I don't care if you're in Wisconsin. I don't care if you're anywhere in this country. If you're listening to me right now, get everyone you know to the polls. Get them all there. Everyone on Tuesday. This is not an option, people. This is not an option. If we do not put that great orange orangutan in check, we are screwed. For God's sakes, today he's making up China stories. Do you see this? He says, oh, I got this great deal in the works with the Chinese leader. His own commerce secretary said he hasn't had conversations with the Chinese. We're only trying to save the union, people. We're only trying to save this country and democracy as a whole. Let's run a few quick calls here. Diane is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Diane.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
All righty.
So when I was listening to Noah, I was thinking about how earlier today I went on Facebook and there was a little, you know, video of him, and it said he was endorsing Keith. And it just, and listening to him talk and stuff, I felt like I wish he'd say much more just out there, just say, look, I want everybody who's going to vote for me to vote for Keith. Because I'm not sure that a lot of young people really get what I mean? I'm not sure.
Well, message. Well, and Diana, and I appreciate what you're saying here. He did. He came on this show and said to do so. He did. You're going to get some people that are going to vote for him. That's just the way. You're going to get some people that are going to vote for him. It's just the way things are. One last chance. Let's get Steve in South Minneapolis. Steve, welcome on in. You're going to be our last call before we got Ellie Krug coming in here in just a second.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I want to first say I agree with every word you said today, but I want to talk about marijuana. My brother uses medical marijuana. When he goes to the dispensary to buy it, he has to pay cash. They have a cash machine there. But why does he have to pay cash? My guess is we have an Attorney General of the United States who, if he had the resources, would like nothing better than to prosecute everyone. And if people can pay with a card, there's a paper trail. And that's my theory. And I think so. What I'm trying to say is, if you want marijuana, vote Democratic.
Well, that's Steve. I thank you very much. I would guess they have the ATM machine in the lobby just because they're ripping you off big time with fees. It's like I've seen those ATMs before. What, $20 to get $10 out of the thing? No. That'd be and you know, as the case, it's comical at this point. The entire freaking country of Canada is legal. How many states in the union is it? 22 now that are legal to smoke marijuana. Yet you are going to be tough on it. Arr, we're going to stop it right here. Shut up, narc. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Patrick Apple Valley, you have to call back on Monday because I'm out of time at this point. I got Ellie Krug coming on in. She's got an event coming up on Monday. We'll talk about that with her. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
I'm Lori Fitz, host of Connections Radio Show, and my vote is for hope, not hate. The right to vote gives us the power to hold our elected leaders accountable, to remove those who don't represent our values and replace them with leaders who will fight for our vision for the future. Join the conversation on how we all can rock the vote. Tune in this Saturday at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And for questions you may have on voting, go to rockthevote.org.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. Rudy Luther needs to clear their inventory of fantastic 2018 Toyotas before the end of the year. Come see the popular and cool 2018 Camry with 0.9% financing to well-qualified buyers. And Rudy Luther is a top 10 largest volume Toyota certified pre-owned dealer in the country. The reason why? A second to none reconditioning process, great selection, and the best prices. November is Govember, so get going over to Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Hello, humans! It's Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m., where I talk about being a practical idealist. I want to invite you to a special talk I'm giving, Gray Area Thinking, on Monday, November 5, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Open Book Literary Center in Minneapolis. I've been giving this talk, Gray Area Thinking, to businesses all across North America. Now I'm offering Gray Area Thinking to the general public. Gray Area Thinking teaches how to be more accepting of people who look different than you or me, or who are LGBTQ or of a different religion. It's work grounded in the teachings of Dr. King and Robert F. Kennedy. I'd love for you to join me on Monday, November 5th at Open Book at 6:30 p.m. To register, Google Eventbrite Tickets Gray Area Thinking, or go to elliekrug.com and look for Human is Human Public Events on the menu. Please come, and please bring someone. More than ever, our country needs gray area thinking.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Ellie Krug, you hear her here on AM 950 on Mondays between 7 and 8 a.m. She's kind enough to join us to talk about this big event. You just heard about the event in the ad. Ellie, thank you very much for taking the time today.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm just thrilled to be here.
No, it's my pleasure to have you on. I'd love to have you. Anytime you want to come on, Ellie, by all means. I love having you on my show.
Well, vice versa, on mine as well. I love how you do everything. You do it just so nicely. That is really great.
I want to let everyone know a little behind the scenes things. I wanted to get Ellie on. We just had so many politicians to get on here in the last few months. But with your event coming up on Monday, I wanted to take some time today. Let's talk about gray area thinking. This is coming up on Monday. Was it 6:30 to 8:30 at Open Book in Minneapolis, right?
That's right. That's correct. At Open Book on Washington Avenue. Yeah.
What's the concept of what you're trying to do here?
So gray area thinking is a training on how to better welcome people who are other or different from us. In our society, we group and label people very quickly. And when we do that, often we marginalize them. This is a training on, frankly, how to understand that all of us are trying to survive the human condition. We just are. And we have far more commonalities than we have differences. I'm a believer in the idea that you can change thinking and behavior through inspiration rather than through ordering or commanding. That ordering or commanding stuff doesn't work very well. And what I hear about my gray area thinking training is that it inspires people to want to be more welcoming to everyone, and also to understand that they need to have compassion both for others as well as for themselves, because part of the process is we beat ourselves up so much, Matt. Mm-hmm. We really do.
What you describe, and I think one of the things that this is an amazing opportunity for people, if you have a smaller business. Larger companies are working on this, and depending on the company, they're working on this issue themselves. But if you're in a smaller company, you're a smaller organization, a small office, this might be a great opportunity, because these issues are they're here to stay, and you need to learn how to talk about inclusivity and work with that to have a better workplace and a better society as a whole. I imagine this is a great opportunity if you are a small business owner to get into on this event.
Oh, there's no question about it. And in fact, Matt, I didn't know you knew this, but maybe you didn't, but actually there is a small business coming to the training, 9 people from one business to check out the training and determine whether or not it might be appropriate to bring me to their company where they have 100 employees, 100 team members. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean it's a relatively inexpensive way to get in and take a look at my work and get an idea about how inspirational it really is, and to have a chance to meet me. We have a lot of listeners. Thank you, listeners, who tune into my morning, my show on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m., LE 2.0 radio, and who hear about my work as an idealist. And this work, Gray Area Thinking, is just a total extension of my idealism. And I'm really happy to say that many people love this training. Just last week, I gave it at Land's End out in Dodgeville, you know, the clothing people.
Yeah.
And I trained 300 people. I thought that that's all it would be, but a couple days later, they called me and they said, Ellie, we want you to come back and train another 900 folks.
Wow.
So it is very effective training, and people really love it. And we've got, it's a 2 hours. What I hear regularly is, I never even wanted to look at my phone during the 2 hours that you were doing the training, Ellie. It just so engaged me.
You know, you and I agree on one thing. I when I have, you know, these kind of far right jerks ask me, what race are you part of? I'm part of the human race, you idiot. And we're all part of the human race. We're one big umbrella. As we get into this election cycle, we have candidates who are, you know, talking about taking us back in time, that are preaching yes. hate. How many times in the last few weeks have we just had, you know, people that, you know, white people that are doing blackface, for God's sakes? There is this idea of inclusivity training, I think, is there are some people that get upset and get bothered by this sort of thing. The reality is that this is such an important element of taking these first steps at inclusivity, at making a better society, better yes. workplace, better anything like that, because because when you don't have these discussions, bad things can end up happening and bad elections can end up happening. Having a good discussion about this and realizing that we're all working towards the same better good, I think, is so important.
Well, you know, I think it all gets summarized by a tweet that somebody sent after one of my trainings, which was, you know, just heard from the amazing Ellie Krug, every human should take this training.
Yes.
And I, you know, very humbled when people are so over the top about my work. But I think it is true that we all need to have some basic, a baseline where we all try to understand each other. And you know what, Matt? I find people are extremely hungry for hope. And I gave this training a couple of weeks ago in San Francisco. A woman came out of the training. She started crying. She asked to go talk to me privately. Before I knew it, she had her head on my shoulder. She was bawling, and she said that my training, that Gray Area Thinking, had given her hope, and that she had not had hope for so long. And she just wanted to thank me, and she couldn't. She had forgotten what hope felt like. And so, you know, and what a better time to do it than to do this training the night before the election, an election where we will decide to a large degree the fate of our country going forward.
Yes.
And I think that this training hopefully will become more widespread. I mean, my goal, we're going to probably have somewhere between 60 and 80 people in the room. My goal is to be able to do this talk to 500 people at a time.
All
across the country, in urban areas as well as in rural areas.
It's 6:30 to 8:30, Open Book Minneapolis on Monday, elliekrug.com. That's where they can find the information, correct, Ellie?
Yep, or Google Eventbrite, Gray Area Thinking. That's all right. If you Google Eventbrite, the tickets people, it'll come up.
And then on Monday, listen for her show, 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950. Ellie, I appreciate the time. All my best. I'll make sure I link to all this online a little bit later on, okay?
Okay, thanks so very much, Matt. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care. Ellie Krug joining us once again. Ellie Krug 2.0, that's on Mondays, 7 to 8. Hunter, really quick, how many Republicans have contacted us for Republican of the Day so far?
Zero.
Still zero. Hey, if a Republican wants to get in, we got Monday. We got my questions. We stay on topic. Have a good weekend, everyone. We've got Hunter and Brett up next. Until Monday, see ya.